Good morning. Boy, it feels like I should be just belong to anyone. Feels like I should be rushing off for a Broncos game or something. That's what we usually do. We kind of flip the schedule around each year. John's trying to get to his one Broncos game. Well, thank you. And I will share with you a little secret this morning that really only Jerry and I know. When we came down here and started using this room, this microphone was giving feedback once in a while. And so Jerry said, well, if you put the microphone in this pocket, let's see if that works. And it did. So for a couple of years, I've gone with my microphone in this pocket, and I told Jerry, I said, this last Sunday, I'm going back to this pocket just to see if we can pull that off and I don't have to move my phone around. So far, so good. But if we start having problems, you'll know it's on me. Hey, I want to give you one last funny. After his baby brother was baptized in church one day, his older brother sobbed inconsolably on the drive on the way home. And finally, as they reached home, his parents were able to calm him down enough to ask why he was so emotional. And amidst his sobs, he said, well, the preacher said he wanted us brought up in a Christian home, and I wanted to stay with you guys. So there you go. I wanted to start with one more laugh, even though I've got to tell you, and I'll mention this when I preach in a couple weeks. I've told Deborah, every day I come home, I'm just a little more sad as we get to the end. Yes, exciting new season, but the process of saying goodbye and of leaving relationships and interactions that have been so meaningful are just hard. Last probably 3-4 months ago, I started a list of what I will miss and what I won't miss. And it probably comes as no surprise that what I won't miss is a little bit longer than what I will miss. But I will tell you that one of the things I will miss most is teaching this class. And just the Sundays we have spent together for years, the interactions, the relationship, the love that really flows both ways here. The other thing I will probably miss just as much as teaching you all that's up there at the top is leading worship at 8:30 and just seeing so many of you each Sunday, and we experience that time together. I started teaching Pathfinders in the summer of 2007. And I continued until early 2009, when John Stevens then took over as the class teacher. And during the years John taught, I asked him if I could be his primary sub whenever he was gone. And that was for two reasons. One was just knowing that the process of teaching would help keep my edge sharp. But the other was, I have just loved this class over the years. And getting to be with you and trying to bring something of value to you. And so when John stepped down in 2018, I was happy to receive the baton from him and to get to start to teach this class regularly again. Now, it hasn't all been easy. There was the challenge of trying to figure out how to teach you during COVID, and learning how to do a message and putting it on YouTube, and needing a lot of hand-holding along the way, and John's helped to be able to get that to you. And don't think I haven't noticed over the years a few of you that tend to nod off during my messages here. I won't single you out. But on the flip side, I have been grateful to rub shoulders with you all Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And I know Ecclesiastes said there is a season for everything, and this is the season now, but that doesn't make it any easier to step from where we've been into the new season. You have been, and you remain, God's faithful ones in this congregation and in his kingdom. And I want to end today with what I hope will be blessing, words of blessing to this community as I leave. Someone has asked me, actually a lot of people have asked, what am I looking forward to in retirement? And I'll share more of that April 18th celebration, but just to share just a few things with you, probably what I'm looking forward to the most is learning how to take my pastor hat off and put my child of God hat on, and just to rediscover the simplicity of that relationship. Over the years of ministering to others, it feels like layers have kind of filtered into my relationship with God, and so rediscovering just the beauty of that relationship once again. In the months ahead, I'm looking forward to keeping a toe in ministry here. I'm going to continue on maybe 5 hours a week as a staff chaplain here at the church, and that's going to give me an opportunity to still use what God has placed within me to offer encouragement to the dear folks who support this church in so many ways, but not to step into the bigger lane that Matt is going to have in caring for you all and caring for our congregation. And Tim has given me the green light to continue to officiate memorial services. None of you rush to get there. Okay, we got time. We got time. You know, Deborah and I haven't worshiped together regularly in 35 years. And I'm looking forward to going to church with her like we did today on Sundays and just sharing that experience together. My mom's birthday is December 24th. And the last time I celebrated my mom's birthday with her was 1989. Before I stepped into ministry, and you know what we do on Christmas Eve. So as much as I'll miss being here Christmas Eve this year, I'm looking forward to being with her on her 95th birthday this time. Looking forward to more leisurely mornings, not having to rush to get my walk in before I need to get to work. Looking forward to traveling a bit more. Deborah and I have a trip this spring, and then my daughter is going to spend time with me. We're going to do a trip in Europe later this summer. Looking forward to trying some new activities I'll have time for now just to see what sticks. And if I could somehow summarize just in a general way my three big goals that I have. One is I want to learn to love my wife more intentionally now that I have more time to be able to do that. I want to pause longer to notice beauty around me rather than just being rushed and need to get from one place to another. And I want to find ways of continuing to pour into others as years go on. Short term, though, my goal is to try to keep my tears at a manageable level these next 3 weeks. And so with that, let's look at today's passage. We're going to be looking at John chapter 14 and then jumping to John chapter 15. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and to us. He says, "If you love me, keep my commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." And then jumping over to John 15, he says in verse 12, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And then in verse 17 again, "This is my command, love each other." Let's pray together. Oh Lord God, I give you thanks for this community, for the love that does flow here towards each other, towards you. Thank you for just the richness of Sundays we have gotten to spend together. And thank you for the gift of memories, that those memories will continue to linger. Lord, would you please once again this morning teach us from your word something that we can take with us today that we can live out in the week ahead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. as I've looked ahead to this last Sunday together, I've thought recently, what could I say to you that feels perhaps the most important thing to say? Because the fact is, if any one of us had one last time with someone we love, our words to them would be very intentional. We'd focus on the most important message we would want to leave behind when we're gone. And that's actually what Jesus was doing with his disciples in this passage. This passage comes this very week that we remember, on the night when Jesus was betrayed, and he knew this was his last time with his disciples. And so what he said represents what was most important to him to pass along to them one more time. Now, Jesus' repetition of one central theme tells us how important this message was to him. Five times in these verses that I read, he uses the word obey. Eight times he mentions teaching or command. It's almost like a teacher saying to the class, okay, let's go over this again before I'm gone. Now, if the Pharisees hadn't been off scheming to do him in, they would have loved these words. Their lives revolved around obedience to commands. And for once, they probably would have agreed with Jesus. But in contrast to their mentality of knuckling under the law, notice where Jesus goes with these words. After all the repetition of obeying God's commands, Jesus sums them up in one verse. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. This verse is actually a repetition from chapter 13, verse 34, and as we saw earlier, it's repeated again in verse 17 of this chapter. I think I've shared in the past here an experience I had many years ago with our Get Set preschoolers. Back then, a minister would, they looked at different vocations, and a minister would be asked to come in during that week and just talk with the class about what they do. And so I was asked to do that one year, and I put my robe on, and I came out and introduced myself to them. And there was a little boy that when they were invited to ask whatever they wanted to ask, he said, what do you do? And I said, well, I do weddings, and I do funerals, and I counsel people, and I lead worship, and I preach, and I do some other things. And I finished what sounded like a pretty impressive list. And there was a pause, and the little boy said, what do you do? And my first thought was, kid, I just told you. And then there was a God moment when I realized I really hadn't. And so this gift of this second question, I responded by saying, what do? I love people. Because at the very core, that is what we are all called to do. If asked what you are doing with your life right now, how would you answer? Would you point to activities, responsibilities that tend to fill your days? Or is there a deeper purpose that marks your life, passing along to others the love that you have received from Jesus? Vincent van Gogh, the artist, once said, the more I think it over, the more I feel there is nothing more truly artistic than to love people. I've already started reflecting on this a bit with my upcoming retirement. I'm looking forward to a leisurely pace. I'm looking forward to more travel. I read somewhere the first year of retirement is kind of like summer vacation that just keeps going and going and going. But I also know that if my years ahead are going to have meaning, I need to find ways to continue to pour into others, to allow God to give my life away to others. Jesus reminds us that we were created not primarily to fill our lives with accomplishments, with comfort, or with enjoyment, but to love. To receive God's love and to return it to Him by passing it along to His children. Any other pursuits, as important as they may seem to us, really become secondary to this. Ken Dyer wrote, "What touches God's heart is not how much we know, but how much we love." The religious leaders were so caught up in adhering to rules and regulations, they forgot to love. And Jesus rattled their cage because that is what He was all about. He brought a contrast to their way. Now sometimes pastors bring messages that they know are going to challenge and push their audience, and I've done that a few times over these years, depending on our passage. This is not one of those messages today, because I have watched you love each other beautifully during these years that I have been here with you. This lesson is really more of a reinforcement, encouraging you to remain intentional in continuing to love each other. Admittedly, as we get older, we find there's a bit less of us to give away than there once was. But we can still actively love. And so in the remaining time, let me admonish us of how we can love each other in this class in three ways. And then I want to close with a story that I have come to love over the years. The first encouragement I would give you is encourage. Encourage. You know, the culture, Tim actually preached on this interestingly this morning. The culture in which we live tends to encourage a consumer mentality. What am I personally receiving? And we can bring that mentality into our time together on Sundays or on other occasions. We don't tend to think as naturally about what others could use from us, encouragement that we have to offer someone else. Truett Cathy, who started the Chick-fil-A franchises, once said, "How do you identify someone who needs encouragement? Answer, that person is breathing." In other words, everyone around you needs encouragement, and you have an opportunity to be a vehicle of that encouragement. Every Sunday, someone in this room comes greatly in need of encouragement, in need of acknowledgement that they have been seen, that they have been noticed. And how would this community be impacted if we each came on a Sunday with the idea of how we could somehow bless at least one other person during our time here? Goodness, if everyone in this room came with that agenda, what would a Sunday morning look like, even beyond the love that's already here? Second, and I just touched on this, is notice. Notice. Frederick Buechner said, if we are to love our neighbors, before doing anything else, we must see our neighbors. It's easy for us to notice those we know well, or who sit right around us, or who we're looking forward to connecting with on a Sunday morning. But I wonder how many in this room may fly under our radar each week. And I wonder if there aren't just at least a few each week who may leave here feeling unnoticed by someone around them. Again, think about the love that would flow through and from this class if each person here intentionally approached one person not normally on your radar on a Sunday morning to affirm that you noticed them. And again, to perhaps offer some encouragement or ask them a question about their life. If someone around you isn't here, Do we call them during the week just to say, I noticed you weren't here? Oh, what a word of love that is for someone to realize they weren't noticed when they were here. They were noticed when they weren't here. Third, keep rubbing shoulders beyond Sunday mornings. As we get older, our social circle tends to dwindle. Friends die, they move away, they become less mobile, and we also can become less mobile ourselves. You have a treasure here in this Pathfinders community. Keep looking for ways of sharing life together, not just in this time, but in other ways throughout the week. I have admired and loved over the years I've been here just hearing about your dessert groups and how you rub shoulders with each other in that way. I know it's a way to get dessert. I understand how important that is. But actually what I see is dessert is just the secondary. It's just a chance to be able to come together one more time outside of Sunday. You've got a wonderful party at the Ron's again this June. It looks like up on the schedule, and a great opportunity again to come. Look for those ways of continuing to build on these relationships, whether it's Sunday brunch after class, whether it's getting together for an event like Christmas Joy or organ concert, whether it's just calling someone during the week and saying, hey, I was thinking of you. How are you doing? On the night when Jesus was betrayed, the most important thing he wanted his followers to hear was love each other. And friends, I have watched you do this beautifully here, Sunday after Sunday. And so my exhortation today is simply, please continue to find ways of doing this in the years ahead, remembering that our days are measured not by our comfort, not by our experiences, but by how well we love. And with that in mind, I want to close with a story. Some of you will remember it. I think I've read it in here before. It's called Somebody Loves You, Mr. Hatch. And if I have read it here, hopefully you've forgotten it by now, so it will feel just a little bit fresh. Those of you in the front row, I might share the visuals with. There's a benefit sitting in the front row here, okay? But let me just read this as my gift, as my encouragement to you all. Mr. Hatch was tall and thin, and he did not smile. Every morning at 6:30 sharp, he would leave his brick house, walk 8 blocks to the shoelace factory where he worked. At lunchtime, he would sit alone in a corner, eat his cheese and mustard sandwich, don't dwell on that too long, and drink a cup of coffee. Sometimes, he brought a prune for dessert. After work, he would make 2 stops, at the newsstand to get the paper, and at the grocery store to buy a fresh turkey wing for his supper. After supper, he read the paper, took a shower, and went to bed early. He keeps to himself. That's what everyone said about Mr. Hatch. One Sunday, when Mr. Hatch stepped onto the porch with his dustpan and broom, he got a surprise. A package wrapped in brown paper. He had never spoken to the postman before. Well, thank you, Mr. Goober, he said. Mr. Goober smiled. You're welcome. I always enjoy delivering packages. Mr. Hatch tore the brown paper off. Inside was a white box, which he opened to find another box. This one was heart-shaped, all satiny red with a pink bow on top. It was filled with candy. Something fluttered to the porch floor. It was a little white card. He picked it up. It said, Somebody loves you. Only then did he remember that this was Valentine's Day. Mr. Hatch wondered and wondered, now who would send this to me? He was all alone. He had no friends. And yet someone had sent him a Valentine. Who? Who? He put the box on the coffee table and tried to do some dusting, but every time he left the room, he had to keep peeking to see if the box was still there. He dusted and dusted, and the dust cloth seemed to whisper, "Somebody loves you. Somebody loves you." At last, he flung the dust cloth away and exclaimed, "Why, I've got a secret admirer." And then he did something he had never done before. He laughed. He laughed and danced and clapped his hands, and then he took a piece of candy from the box and ate it. Mr. Hatch changed his shirt, found some old aftershave in the bottom drawer, splashed it on his face, picked out a yellow tie with blue polka dots, and put it on. And then he went for a walk. Maybe, he thought, I will meet the person who sent me the candy. Of course, no one had ever seen Mr. Hatch wearing a tie or smelling of aftershave or smiling. So he got a lot of attention. Mrs. Weed tripped over her dog. Mr. Dunwoody nearly fell off the ladder. And little Tina Finn spilled all the toys out of her wagon. Mr. Hatch waved hello to them all. On Monday, it was back to work. At lunchtime, Mr. Hatch sat in the middle of the cafeteria. He spoke to everyone and passed out chocolates from his heart box. On the way home, as usual, he stopped at the newsstand. Mr. Smith handed him the usual newspaper. "I think I'll have a pack of mints," said Mr. Hatch, "not as usual." Mr. Smith was shocked. "Was that you speaking, Mr. Hatch?" "Indeed it was," said Mr. Hatch. "I said I would also like a pack of mints, and if you don't mind my saying so, Mr. Smith, you don't look very well today." Mr. Smith recovered from his shock to reply, "Well, you're right. I don't feel very well. I have a cold. I was supposed to go to the doctor's this afternoon, but the stand has been so busy I haven't had the time." Mr. Hatch smiled. "Well, I'd be happy to watch the stand for you while you go." Mr. Smith could hardly believe his ears. "You would? Certainly. Just show me what to do." And so Mr. Hatch ran the newsstand for an hour. He wondered if any of the women who stopped to buy a paper or a magazine or a candy bar had said, "Yes, Valentine." When Mr. Smith returned, Mr. Hatch made his usual stop at the grocery store. "I'm a little tired of turkey wings," he told Mr. Todd. "I think I'll have a nice fresh slice of ham." Mr. Todd weighed the meat and wrapped it. "You look worried," said Mr. Hatch. "I am," said Mr. Todd. "My little girl is late. She hasn't come home from school yet, and I can't leave the store to look for her until my wife arrives." "Goodness, why didn't you say so?" said Mr. Hatch. "I will go look for her." And so he walked to school and found little Melanie Todd by the swings and brought her home. "Thank you. Thank you," said the grocer. "Any time," said Mr. Hatch. After supper, Mr. Hatch did not bother to read the paper. He decided to bake brownies instead. It would be nice to have brownies to share the next day with the people at the shoelace factory. As he baked, the warm chocolate smell of brownies floated through the neighborhood. Children gathered around Mr. Hatch's house, sniffing the air. "Well, I suppose the factory can wait," said Mr. Hatch as he looked out the window, and he brought out two platefuls. "Now what are brownies without lemonade?" he said, and he stirred up a nice cold pitcher. When the parents came to gather their children, they had some brownies too. It turned out to be a picnic in Mr. Hatch's backyard. He dusted off an old harmonica and played songs he remembered from his boyhood, and everyone danced. And so the days and weeks went by. When Mr. Hatch wasn't smiling, he was laughing. And when he wasn't laughing, he was helping someone. And when he wasn't helping someone, he was having a party in his yard or on his porch. He seemed to have forgotten about finding the person who sent him the Valentine. And then one afternoon, Mr. Goober, the postman, came to his door. His face was very serious. "Come in, Mr. Goober," said Mr. Hatch. "You look upset. I am upset, he said. I made a mistake some time ago. My supervisor is very angry with me. Do you? Do you? Yes, Mr. Gruber, what is it? Do you recall the package I delivered to you on Valentine's Day, I think it was? Yes, I believe so, replied Mr. Hatch, beginning to feel a little uneasy. I don't suppose you still have it, said Mr. Gruber, sadly. As a matter of fact, said Mr. Hatch, I still have the box. The candy is gone, though. Why do you ask? The postman took a deep breath. I'm afraid I delivered it to the wrong address. It was supposed to go to another house. Mr. Hatch recalled tearing off the brown paper. It had never occurred to him to look at the address. He fetched the heart-shaped box and the pink bow and gave them to the postman. I do hope your supervisor won't be too angry with you now. The postman was heading down the sidewalk when Mr. Hatch called from his porch, Mr. Goober, I forgot something. And he gave the postman the little white card that read, Somebody loves you. Alone in his living room, Mr. Hatch sighed. Nobody loved me after all. And then he read the paper, took his shower, and went to bed early. The next morning at 6:30 sharp, Mr. Hatch left his brick house, walked 8 blocks to the shoelace factory. At lunchtime, he sat in the corner by himself, ate his cheese and mustard sandwich, and drank a cup of coffee. After work, he stopped at the newsstand for his paper, but he did not speak to Mr. Smith. And when he ordered his turkey wing from Mr. Todd, he did not smile. Nor did he pat little Melanie Todd on the head, or bake brownies, or have picnics or parties, or play his old harmonica anymore. Everyone whispered, what is wrong with Mr. Hatch? Mr. Gruber, the postman, told them. We love Mr. Hatch, insisted Mr. and Mrs. Dunwoody. He gave us flowers for our garden. He helped to mend our back fence. Mrs. Weed nodded. I love him, too. He saved his bones from my dog, Ruffy. And Ruffy barked. She loved Mr. Hatch, too. Mr. Smith told everyone how Mr. Hatch had watched his newsstand so he could visit the doctor. Mr. Todd told everyone how Mr. Hatch had found his little girl. All the children in the neighborhood remembered Mr. Hatch's wonderful brownies and lemonade, and most of all, his laughter. Poor Mr. Hatch, they said, what can we do? And then Mr. Gruber announced, I have an idea. On Saturday morning, Mr. Hatch woke to a bright and sunny day. He put on his old overalls, went out to the porch with his dustpan and broom, and he couldn't believe his eyes. All over the porch were red and white hearts and pink bows. There were boxes of candy in the chairs, yellow streamers flowing from the ceiling, and sticking up out of his mailbox was a shining silver harmonica. The front yard was filled with people, happy, smiling people. They were holding up a huge sign with hand-painted letters that said, Everybody loves Mr. Hatch. Mr. Hatch dabbed at a tear with his handkerchief. I do believe, he sniffed, somebody loves me after all. And then he smiled. And then he laughed. And then he hurried down to be with his friends. And I love that story because it's such a beautiful example of how love changes a person's life. And so that means you have the power to change someone else's life with your love. Amen. You will always be surrounded in this class and in life by Mr. Hatches. Find ways to love them, to encourage them, to notice them, to rub shoulders with them. Thank you for the privilege of teaching you all these years. Let me pray for you. I knew that was going to get me. Oh, Lord God, I thank you for each life in this room. And I thank you for those who aren't here today, who can't be here, who are still a part of this community. Lord, I pray for the stories that you continue to write. I pray for any in this room right now this morning who are anxious about something that lies ahead that seems bigger than them. Help them experience more of you where it doesn't feel like there's enough of them. Lord, I pray for any here who feel lonely or isolated. Pray that you would somehow reach out to them with your love through not only folks in this class, but in other places in life as well. Lord, I pray for each person here, for the hopes they still have for what lies ahead, that you would meet them in that hopes. And I pray that each person here, Lord, would just continue to live life in big ways, not ways, big ways that are noticed by newspaper headlines, but big ways that are noticed by you as we seek to love those who are around us. And so thank you for this class. Please continue to bless them and use them as a blessing for so many other people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.